Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm wearing the Baltimore Positive tie today. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Going to be giving away some Raven scratch-offs to those who are of the legal age. We're at Union Brewing. We are underneath of 83. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. Apologies, I don't have my Window Nation hat. I do look like I'm dealing cards when I wear the Window Nation hat. And it is the Restaurant Association of Maryland rolling this thing through. I did 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries in 31 days in August. I actually did 36 crab cakes and 38 breweries, but this was one of them. I was here on the 10th of August, and I said to Adam Benish, hey, man, we need to do a crab cake tour stop here. We're going to have Nick from the local Oyster stopping by, and Matt Gallagher's going to come by and talk some local stuff and politics and eating and Pearl Jam and other things. But we're on to beer, and we're talking beer with a craft beer master. Where did you get your beer skill to say, I'm good at drinking it. How do I start to make it?
You know? It was a lot of drinking, a lot of trying, a lot of exploring.
Oh, I like that.
And I would homebrew at home. I don't brew here. I'm not at that level, right? We've got.
What does homebrew mean? Did you need special equipment to do that?
Special, right? A glass carboy, which is like a glass container, a turkey fryer, and a big pot is basically what you need. And then there's actually a great homebrew shop in Columbia. I live in Ellicott City now, Maryland Homebrew, which has all the things you need there to brew a batch of beer at home. And homebrewing is a fun thing. That first batch you make is always the best one, and then when you try to recreate it, it's never as good, but it's fun to keep trying.
Well, what were you creating? I mean, just give me so what part of town were you? Give me your whole background here, because you're Mr. Baltimore. I don't know enough about you, but I see you as sort of this mad laboratory beer maker in 1994 or something like that,
yeah,
right?
I grew up in Baltimore County. I went to Franklin High School, then the College Park. So I've stayed in these parts for most of my life. And as I mentioned before, I've just at an early age, my early college days, fell in love with the flavors and the taste of craft beer versus the macro swill that was out there.
But liking it and making it's different.
Yeah,
I've been liking it 53 years. I haven't ever thought to make it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think fast forward a bunch of years, I was probably in my early 30s and was seeing what was happening with craft beer across the country and breweries popping up in neighborhoods in Chicago and San Francisco and Denver and these cities where it was way further advanced than
Denver's
Baltimore was.
Denver's where I saw it. Denver, yeah. Seattle. I mean, I'm going back 10, 15 years ago. Denver especially.
Denver, like, Seattle, Portland. Portland, Maine also. The Maine was way in front of it. And wondered why that wasn't happening here in Baltimore. And there were some people making great beers in Baltimore, obviously Hugh Sisson and what is now Heavy Seas, but also Brewer's Art right there in Mount
Sure.
Vernon, doing the Belgian styles in a brew pub setting. Was incredible and loved going there.
They have a chandelier.
They do have
See
a chandelier.
That?
And you know what?
I put the picture of the chandelier up, and people are like, you don't even need to tell anybody with you. Everybody knows that's the iconic Brewer's
We
Art.
Actually have a chandelier, too, in our duckpin room over there.
All
I'm
right,
going to show
well,
it to you.
You.
So I shouldn't
good.
Have commented about the chandelier comment, but you're right.
You can have a chandelier and still make good beer.
You can, absolutely. Maybe it's a requirement. But, you know, those things existed and were making great beers, but Baltimore wasn't really advancing in the beer movement like I was seeing and others were seeing out in other cities across the country, both bigger and smaller than Baltimore. So we just kept asking ourselves, why is this not happening in Baltimore? And through hanging out with some other beer-focused friends, we'd hang out at Max's on Thursday nights and talk about creating a brewery here in Baltimore. And after a year or two of talking
Does
about
Furman
it...
Does Furman know that you were inspired by his bar?
Absolutely. Max's is another institution that if that didn't exist, I think the beer landscape in Baltimore and beyond would be a little bit different. Without a doubt.
Ronnie, this is so small tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Ron's been on the Crab Cake Tour down with me. We did a show at Atlas right across the street from his place. I mean, Ronnie was the original guy bringing Blue Rodeo in and bringing Peter Himmelman in.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, bringing the Rembrandts down to the Roger McGuinn from the Birds and... Like,
no, they had real shows there.
Real
if you
rock.
Look back at some of the bands that came through there, it was pretty amazing.
I drank beer with David Cassidy and Danny Bonaducci on the second floor in that place. So trust me, you know, me and the Partridge Boys had beer together.
There's
you know?
Too many stories to be shared about drinking at Max's, but I know we all have them, and they're all glorious. And the Furmans are amazing, and everybody at the Max's family. past and current are awesome people.
But Baltimore's like that, right? Yeah. So you wanted a, you could have put this in a county, done something that you're from the county, right? Yeah. Give me the city play on this. And where was the politics and the law? Because, again, my wife got sick. I wasn't a craft beer snob. I was sponsored by major beer companies trying to keep my lights on, employ people. Then my wife got sick. I don't know how it really happened.
Yeah.
It went from Hugh and Billy Blocker over at Red Brick Station, you know, making root beer in the back for me 25 years ago, to hearing about you and hearing about all these names and finding these cans of beers in places and saying, Union, is that the place off 83? Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, right? 12 years ago when we got serious about this, started looking around town where it could make sense to put a brewery. Looked in Catonsville. Thought Catonsville was a town that would really support a brewery. It didn't really fit there. Started thinking bigger in this, and then of course landed in Baltimore City. It's like, hey, if we truly want to create beer and brands that the people of Baltimore can get behind, it needs to be in Baltimore City. And so then we started digging around neighborhoods. Fell in love with what was happening in Hamden, you know, 12 years ago, which is
telling a Baltimore positive story right off.
Yeah,
right?
And found and a lot of it is, hey, where can we find a place that we can afford that we can start and found a place on Union Avenue and got going there. And once we were in the neighborhood, we realized we didn't want to leave the neighborhood, which got a little dicey, to be honest, when we were trying to figure out the next move off of Union Avenue. At first, you think, hey, there's all these big vacant warehouses around Baltimore City. It should be no problem finding a 40 or 50,000 square foot building that we can move into. The problem is it was a huge problem, and there's a lot of properties that are tied up waiting for future development with owners from all over the place, both local and not, that weren't open to either selling a building or putting it in use as a brewery. And we really struggled finding a home and started even looking outside of the city, starting to look at warehouses, nondescript warehouses out in the county.
Am I nuts to think plumbing and water would be a really key part of doing this business specifically?
It is, but that's not to say it's just money. That's just money putting in the infrastructure.
Right,
so you
okay,
can do that
enough.
Anywhere.
Okay, fair enough. But
it's
not
really,
every place would be outfitted or perfect
no.
for that. That's
well, we needed tall ceilings. We needed parking. We needed the availability of a big water line and a big gas line and all that stuff. And we couldn't find it. And we really struggled. And honestly, through that kind of year-long search, we made friends with a bunch of other small manufacturers, Baltimore-born businesses, that were kind of struggling the same way, outgrowing their original space, looking for a new space to grow and expand into, and there was nothing available in the city. So we created one. And that's what.
So it's either small or big, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you weren't big enough to be big, but with a collective,
yeah.
right?
And so we knew this building existed. This was the old original Sears Roebuck Distribution Center. Then it was a company called Hedwin, which had manufacturing up the hill in Medfield, and this was their warehouse.
So every washer and dryer in 1958 in the city came through here.
Sears. Yeah, I think so. This was a place that, okay. you know, 50s through the mid-80s, I think, if you needed a part for your Sears lawnmower, you would come here to pick it up. Yeah, and so, and then this company, Hedwin, which made boxes and plastic parts and all these crazy things. This was their entire warehouse. I think they split it with Sears for in the 80s into the 90s, and then they took over the whole thing, 90s into the late 2000s.
Not functional? Was it
it still exists, I believe. That company got bought by a private equity firm, combined with someone else in Delaware.
But had this place been vacant for
moved out of Baltimore, took 250 jobs with it, and as that was happening was right around the time that we were looking for a space. And so this space, we visited it our first few times. It was active as a warehouse for Edwin.
Okay.
It was not inactive for more than a month or two while we were figuring out how to acquire it.
Right place, right time.
But we walked in here several times like, this is way too big for us. This is three or four times the size of what we needed. But through that process and becoming friends with other businesses like the Charmery and Baltimore Spirits Company and all the others that are here, realize, hey, we can create this little manufacturing center here in Baltimore City on our own. We don't need somebody to do it for us. And that's what we set out to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Your story is have been told to me, sort of third party, and you're a Baltimore business success story and an interesting entrepreneur. But more than that, it's beer, and it's something that everybody can be a part of. I asked my son today, of course I've been to you. Like, everybody's been here other than me until a month ago. Bring those skewers over here. You've got a beautiful kitchen here as well. And I want to sit and have you tell me about the outside and the inside and what your vision is. Because, for me, I've been now to 38 or 39 of these. Many of them are in the warehouse part. Many of them hold parts together, but the food part of this, for a lot of you, you know, you didn't start making beer thinking you wanted to have a pizza kitchen, right?
Absolutely.
So you're trying
not
to let experts come in, and I know we're going to have Nick here from the local Oyster joining us a little bit later as well, but I saw this, and I didn't gain any weight in August. I weighed myself. I didn't gain any weight. So
yeah, so Well Crafted.
I'm trying to eat well.
Well Crafted is a separate business here that handles the food here in our tap room, and my dad had a career in technology and CIA stuff. Retired, and for some stupid reason,
I bet he can't talk about it.
Opened an IHOP when he retired, and this is kind of my high school years and early college years. And from that, I realized I think I never wanted to be in the food business. I like beer a lot better. And so when we opened the tap room here, I realized, hey, we didn't want to take on the food. Let's find somebody else to do it. And the people Well Crafted came in here and have done a great job over our first 3.5-4 years here making delicious food. They lean heavily on local farms here in Baltimore City and in the Baltimore metro area. I think they're one of the top users of city-grown vegetables,
it's
herbs, other products that are created here in the food ecosystem of Baltimore. And they've done a great job of using those, the food that's available here in Baltimore City and grown and created here in Baltimore City and creating an entire kitchen out of that.
Well, Nick's here from Local Oyster. I'm going to get him in a little bit, but I want to do just 10 minutes on beer and why you make a beer. And more than that, I tell you, I don't like, you know, hoppy beers or IPAs. Your Steady Eddie's a little hoppy. You know,
little
what I mean?
Hoppy.
A little hoppy. Sports and the connection to Ed Reed and the connection to Eddie Murray came later, but some of these other, you know, Blackwing's something I've been seeing for a long, long time here. Yep. Zadie's is something new to honor your grandfather. But making beers and what decides whether you have a pumpkin spice ale on right now?
As far as the beer and the styles, we like the brew beers that we like to drink. We've never made a pumpkin beer, and I've always said we never will. Never is a long time, but I hope we never do, just because I don't enjoy drinking them. Whereas we love making traditional styles.
Don't be prejudiced against seasonal beers. What's wrong
with you? I'm all
for
it. People sell a lot of pumpkin beer. Go buy them up. It probably won't be from Union.
Are you against doing it on a specific? Would you do a blueberry, or you just don't do fruit in your beer?
Yeah, more of a traditional sense of beer. We love the four ingredients of beer, and for the most part, stick to those four ingredients. So we don't add a lot of extra stuff to our beer. Sometimes we do. It comes back to what we and our team like to drink. And if there isn't somebody here that's like, man, I really wish we had a pumpkin beer, we're not going to make it. But
putting something on that does everything you make go into a can and get shipped out? Or do you do anything just in-house?
We definitely do stuff just in-house. And so we have, this is our big brew house. This is a 60-barrel brew house right here. This makes about 20,000 beers at a time, which is crazy to think about. To the side
of
it,
how long does it take to make 20,000 beers? How long is it?
So the brew side of it takes about 8 hours, 7 or 8 hours. But then that beer sits for, call it 30 days, 20 to 30 days, depending on what we're making. And then it's ready to be packaged. So it's about a month cycle for each batch of beer. But we're brewing on the big system daily, sometimes twice a day these days, as we're getting in the beer drinking season and Raven season. And that's amazing. But to the right of it, you can't see it from here, we have a smaller system. It's a 10-barrel system that we actually picked up from a brewery that closed up early COVID. And that's our in-house test system. So we'll brew 10 barrels of really anything, and those get packaged into kegs and stay here just in the tap room as kind of our experiment. That's our rough drafts series.
If you were ever going to do a pumpkin, that's where it would be.
That's where it would be. And we have done some other things. We've played with some peppers. We've played with some fruit stuff. We've done different things through that. And that's really to get feedback from people in the tap room that are here to drink beer and try something that they can't get on the shelves. We put all different crazy things, crazy and not crazy things, through that system, get feedback right here live from consumers drinking beer in our tap room. And if there's ever something that we get a lot of great feedback on and that we're or that we're interested in ourselves, we'll take it to the next level and bring it to the big system.
So I beg you to do like a blueberry stout or something. You consider those kinds of things?
Yeah, I mean, that's on the 10-barrel system. There's really anything is a possibility. And it's
so
fun.
So where has your palate gone then? Like, I mean,
it's a good question.
Because my palate's moving from doing this and from going into places and thinking, seeing something and being like, what the hell is that? You know, I was at maybe Burley or Burnish. I saw something like, what is that? The beauty of these places, and I said this to you last, is you can try it.
Yeah.
And you say, nah, not for me, might be for me, whatever. But you always find something you like. But more than that, you find Like, I love Kolsch's, right? I've had honey Kolsch's I don't like because I'm a little sweeter of my palate, you know, than more bitter. But then you find something that hits your sweet spot. But you have to try 100 to find 5 you love.
Yeah,
right?
And I think the craft beer industry, over the past 10 years that we've been, you know, I've been actively in it, we saw a big spike of kind of extreme flavors early on. Big, crazy flavorfuls, crazy hoppy IPAs, which are still very popular, but also all the fruit and pumpkin additions and all that stuff. People were looking for extreme flavors, and I think that's kind of settled down a little bit where people still love IPA. IPA is still king. I think it's about 40% of all craft beer is IPA currently.
All right.
Which is about, as I said earlier, I think about half the people like hops and half don't, so that fits that. But I think what we're seeing currently and over the past year or two is a gravitation more back to more simpler styles like the Zadie's Lager, things that you can drink 3 of and not be completely intoxicated from.
Well, I have to look at the number. I mean, yeah. I was driving everywhere in the month, right?
Zadie's
so I look up and I'm like, man, that stat looks good, but it says 11.4.
Yeah, you got to be careful
like,
with that.
No.
Right. Whereas I love the act of drinking beer and everybody here at Union, I think it's a big part of what we love about beer is the actual communal aspect of drinking beer with friends or someone you just met and the bond that's created through that. And so we like, for the most part, like to create beers that are approachable in that sense that you can sit down and have 3 or 4 beers over an evening and not be wasted. Hey, we also make 8% double IPAs because that's fun and there's a time and place for that. But a lot of our core and what we really focus on are beers that are 4%, 5%, 6% that are super flavorful and interesting but are approachable in the sense that you can have a couple of them and still operate.
Well, I'm about done this one here. I got my Restaurant Association koozie, so a big shout-out to Marshall and everybody out there. It is Restaurant Week. Please get out, take advantage of it. To at least the 25th, many, many places doing Restaurant Week. Our friends at Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation, as well as the Maryland Lottery. I got the first day, first scratch off. We'll give one to Jack over there for coming out and being a part of this. Zadie's Lager.
Zadie's Lager.
I want to get Nick on from the local oyster. We're going to talk about oysters and crab cakes and seafood and Maryland and all that as I'm eating my Capri Skewers here at Union Brewing.
They're delicious.
So Zadie's and new lines and different things. And obviously, it's nice doing something for Eddie Murray. It's nice doing something for Ed Reed. I don't know why you name certain things what you name them. I would be honored to have a beer named after me, but certainly your grandfather. What about this line right now and a man who worked here?
Yeah, so this is a tribute beer to my grandfather, Zadie, that worked here until he passed at 101. He folded all of our case trays, our boxes that our cases would go in. So if you ever went to a beer store and saw a case of our beer, inside of it was a picture of his face because we just love the idea of him sitting there folding boxes all day looking at a portrait of himself illustrated by Alex Fine, an incredible illustrator from Micah right here in Baltimore. He became, you know, he's my grandfather all my life, obviously, but he started hanging around the brewery when we started 10 plus years ago, and he kind of wouldn't leave. Even though we didn't think it was a very safe place for a 90-year-old that liked to trip over things and fall all the time.
Right.
It wasn't safe for him. We tried to get him to leave. He wouldn't. We eventually found him his seated job folding boxes, and he stuck with it. And he would fold. He'd come in every day.
Somebody had to do it, right?
Somebody had to do it.
Right?
It was either one of our canning people or Zadie. But he would sit at this table and fold literally 600 boxes a day, every day, 5 days a week. I did a little math when he passed. He folded about 420,000 boxes for us over that period of time, which is incredible. And
so you name a beer after him.
So we named the beer for him. But, he was my grandpa, my Zadie. But through the years here, he kind of became everybody on our team,
Zadie.
Beautiful. And people would go to him and hear stories or share concerns, and he would give his sage advice, and it would just make sense. And I later led on to most of our staff that, hey, he can't really hear well, and he's making most of the stuff up. but it worked. And he was just an amazing man, taught us so many things. I mean, even things like work ethic. Here he is, 97, 98, 99 years old. If Zadie can show up for work, you can show up for work.
Right on.
And that became kind of one of the many instances of things that we leaned on Zadie for to help us grow as an organization and grow as people working at a company like Union. And so when he passed, it was an obvious choice for us to maybe brew a beer in his honor. And so we did. And that came out for his birthday this past year in January. We do a big event called Zay Day, which is celebrating Zay's birthday. We did that for
what
the
past. What day is that?
It's, right, his birthday is January 18th. We do it right, whatever that weekend is.
So say Elvis
year.
Is January 8th, so you fall right in there.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. So
playoff football,
we,
too.
We do, exactly. So we do a big celebration for him every year and have been. And this year we announced the launch of the Zay's beer, which is our first beer in 12 packs. It's a lower alcohol, 4.5%, super drinkable, crushable, crisp lager, sold in 12 packs only, lower price beer. It's, I think it's a dollar more than a 12 pack of Coors Light. And so it's really meant to be the people of Baltimore's everyday beer.
It took you a long time to come up with this line, right?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
This is a special big time push, right?
For sure.
To do something different in 12 packs, right? I mean, in 12 packs, craft beer in 12 packs,
and also
packs, right?
a lower price beer. So in the craft beer world, a lot of times a 6-pack sits at $9.99, $10.99, $11.99, and we wanted to create, we felt like the grandfather's beer should be priced appropriately and should fit that mold. And so we had been playing around with this recipe and this style of beer for a couple years, and it kind of just lined up that we were ready to move it up into the larger production scale around that time when we were thinking through
it. How'd you know you have the right recipe? I mean, seriously, what date are you like, all right, that's it. That's the one we're going to go
with. This was probably brewed 6, 7, 8 times before we came up with the final recipe on our small system. And we kept doing what was called in here premium lager on our rough draft system. We brewed that many, many times to get to exactly what we wanted.
What would you say about it? What did it need to have or didn't have through the first 7?
Yeah, we wanted the appropriate amount of, we wanted to be crisp and drinkable and thirst-quenching. And we were on the right lines each of the times, but each time you tweak it a little bit and a slight change in ingredient or a slight change in process to get it exactly what we wanted it to be. We knew that this was I think because it was going to be named after Zay, everybody here at the brewery, it was probably one of our best team projects ever because everyone loves Zay so much. Everyone wanted it to be perfect, from the liquid to the branding to the packaging to the cans to how we
tastes
sell it.
Tastes like beer.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a beer that tastes, it's a beer made for drinking. That's the tagline on the box, on the can, and that's truly what it is. It's meant to be able to be in your fridge any and every day, anytime you're going for just a thirst-quenching beer, whether you're out mowing the lawn or after a long day at work or heading to a baseball game. It's Zay's Lager is the beer for that occasion.
Well, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour stopped here last month briefly for one beer. You toured me through the back. We're not going to do that on the show today. We're going to bring Nick in from the local oyster to be a part of our next segment. Matt Gallagher is going to be here a little later on as well. But I had a Black Wing when I was here last
Wing's
month.
A fun one. We brewed that 2013. It was our first season. It was when the Ravens were making their playoff run to the Super Bowl.
All right.
And we named the beer Black Wing for our Black Wing birds, both Orioles and Ravens. I never really put together that both of our teams are Black Wing birds.
Perfect.
And so we brewed that beer and it stuck. And that's a fun beer because it is a dark lager. A lot of time people are intimidated by a darker beer. They think it's going to be heavy, but it's actually super light and crisp.
I want to have one.
It's another. I think it's 4.8% ABV. Super crushable, super drinkable, but has so much more flavor than most of the other macro brewed beers.
How does it pair with the Capri Skewers?
That'll be perfect.
Perfect. All right, we're going to do that. We'll take a break, and I want to get into this and talk some more beer, drink some more beer. We're having some fun. It's Maryland Crab Cake Tour. But the serendipity is I was here on the 10th, and that night, it was the next night I needed a tap room, and I was up at Full Tilt. And I right up in Govan's, right up top of the hill, and I had gone to the smokehouse, Heritage Smokehouse.
Yeah.
And I went in, and I got recognized the minute I'm in there, like, there's no crab cakes in here. What are you doing in here? I'm like, I have my crab cake. All right. I had my crab cake that afternoon down at LP Steamers. I did a show at Steamers that day. And they were my tap room that night, or my brewery. And so we went in, and they had Zay's on draft. And I had just seen you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, we're going to have, I said to my wife, I'm like,
and they serve them in the big glasses there, which I love.
And I felt like such a wine goof telling stories. I'm like, my wife, I'm like, Zay, this is the grandfather of the guy I met yesterday, you know. Right. So I started telling the story. So when there's a story behind the beer, it makes it even better.
It does. I agree with that.
Yeah. Adam Benes has the stories behind the beer. No relation to Elaine Benes of Towson, of Seinfeld. That's pretty good.
Not that I know of. Yeah.
Not yet. Or yeah. Andy Bennis, who once pitched, but not as well as Ben McDonald. We're at Union Brewing, the local oysters here. We're going to have some fun. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, Window Nation, where I forgot my damn hat, as well as the Restaurant Association of Maryland, where get your hat, put your coat on, get on out, take advantage of Restaurant Week all week long, all over the state of Maryland. You can learn more at Maryland Restaurant Week and MD Restaurant Week as well. I'm going to have some skewers. I'm going to have a black wing. And the crab thing, I've learned about oysters a little bit, that it's the oysters and the oxygenation are what feeds the crabs in the grasses in the marshy, brackish waters of the old Chesapeake. We're going to learn more about that on the way back in. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, broadcasting from Union Brewing. Cold beer, good food, comfortable place to go to the bathroom right off 83. Stop by. We're here. Come on by and do a little Baltimore Positive Magic with us.